All right, you have to love Chicago, one of the greatest bands of all time. And boy, that horn section, when you're driving down the highway, is there anything better than that? I mean, that's, you got to prevent speeding tickets listening to that. All right. All right, we're back. And we've got our good friend Chris Horn, the Sabres recruiting expert and analyst. And he's now a full-time contributor. So I see him at the games now, and it's always a lot of fun catching up with Chris. And Chris, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine, Frank. How are you?
Have you been able to get some sleep since National Signing Day?
Yeah, a little bit, thankfully. So definitely needed it. Always a busy day, but definitely always a fun day to see those letters of intent come in and kind of find out more, you know, what the coaches think of the class and everything. So definitely a fun day.
All right. With that said, last Wednesday in JPJ, you and I were sitting there a few seats apart as Bronco Mendenhall addressed the media. And he was all buttoned up. He had his nice fancy Wahoo tie, and he had his blue blazer. And this time he didn't bring any of his assistant coaches like he did last year. And so there was no introductions for those guys. And he cracked some jokes about his assistants, telling him they needed to be doing something else or something. But all right, let's talk about the class. And you and I have talked about it for years, that the offensive line was a position of need. How did Bronco and his staff do this year with the recruiting of offensive linemen?
Yeah, I think from a high school senior standpoint, I was kind of expecting them to sign maybe six or even seven. And as you mentioned, it feels like even over this past year, it seems like we've been talking about it forever. But they ended up signing five high school seniors. But that's not the whole story with the recruiting this off season. It's they've also added officially added at least one graduate transfer out of Notre Dame, and Colin McGovern, who signed a grant in aid. So he plans to use his final year of eligibility at UVA, which is pretty significant, I think, because he is a player who gives UVA immediate experience. He started eight games at right guard last year for Notre Dame, so he's got the high major experience. And I would expect a player like him, obviously, if he's healthy, to come in and have a real shot at starting, since you know, UVA is losing three starters from last year. But
how about these offensive linemen, Glazer, Fannin, Vollmer? You know, I love a good German on the offensive line. I mean, you know, if we've got to blitz somebody, there's their that's their big Tiger tank right there on the perimeter, right there to sort of seal the end, right?
That's right. That's right. Yeah, Garrick Vollmer was the eve of signing day addition for UVA, a 6'5", 280-pound prospect, a previous commitment to Louisville. So he was a pretty nice pickup for the Cavaliers. I think he's a guy that you'll see, along with they also received signed a 6'10", 270-pound offensive tackle out of Florida by the name of Ryan Swoboda. And if I had to guess, I think those guys are headed towards redshirting, and then, you know, they may be more developmental. We'll see how things go. But you mentioned a player I like a lot, Chris Glazer. Great attitude, fiery competitor, about 6'4", 255 pounds, which may keep him from playing next year, but a guy I would definitely remember for the years to come. He's just I just really love his attitude. I think he's probably going to end up as a guard somewhere, but we'll see. And a couple players who I think can play immediately, and of course with UVA's situation, they may have to play some of these guys immediately, but especially Tyler Fannin, who's a center prospect.
Yep.
6'3", 290 pounds. Obviously Jackson Mateo has held down the center position for quite a while for UVA. Heading into spring practice, there's really no clear-cut runner. I know Jake Feeler received some snaps last year. R.J. Proctor has received some snaps earlier in his career. And I believe they mentioned at least giving Dylan Reinkensmeyer, who signed last year but redshirted, a look at center, too. But there's no clear-cut center coming in, and Tyler Fannin is a good player. He played against a high-level class in Georgia of competition, was very successful, has a football pedigree with his dad playing in college, and his brother is at Middle Tennessee State. So he's kind of got that added maturity, good size, 6'3", 290 pounds. He's a guy that I would be a little surprised if he's not at least in the rotation next year at center. So he's a name to keep an eye on.
All right. By the way, before we get off these offensive linemen, Patrick Kearney, who was an all-ACC stud at defensive end and was actually a lacrosse star in high school at the Taft School, he was tweeting all over the place how proud he was of these Taft players. And we just got to get that in there because Patrick was one of our long-range guests a couple years ago. So
yeah,
go ahead.
Phenomenal player, too. Yeah, no question. Obviously, Elliot Brown is the other player they got from the Taft School. He's an outside linebacker type, so, you know, hopefully he can turn into the type of defensive player that Patrick Kearney was. I think he would be pretty happy with that. But, yeah, so Tyler Fannin at center is a player I'm looking for an immediate impact as well as perhaps a long-term answer at center. And then Ryan Nelson, who's a 6'6", 280-pound offensive tackle prospect that Coach Mendenhall and his staff had recruited when they were at BYU. And he loved the history behind Virginia. But another factor is that he wanted to come in and play right away and be part of building something right away. So, and he's a guy, again, with the talent. And, again, with that razor-thin depth chart, you know, you got to some of these guys are going to have to get experience perhaps even earlier than the coaches may want. But those are two names who I think fans could maybe watch out for next season, Tyler Fannin and Ryan Nelson.
All right, let's break down the three running backs because I think these three players will be playing in Charlottesville over the next 2 years, and they'll be playing a lot. Lamont Atkins enrolled early. So did Jamari Peacock. He's from Florida. Peacock would be your bruiser running between the tackles. Atkins might be your speed back. And then there's P.K. Kyer, who is coming in this summer. Tell me about these three running backs and how good are they?
Yeah, Atkins and Kyer, they're both kind of similar backs. I would say Kyer maybe they're both pretty tough kids. They can both definitely run in between the tackles, and I think Coach Mendenhall mentioned that they have that ability, but they can also catch the ball out of the backfield, particularly Lamont Atkins, who's the reigning Gatorade football player of the year in the state of Virginia, which is pretty solid achievement. He's a guy who started his career as a receiver at Lake Braddock and then switched to running back for his final 2 years. So he's going to have that kind of Taquan Mizell ability, probably not as polished of a receiver as Mizell was, but a guy who has ability to catch the ball for sure. So those are kind of those two guys. And then you mentioned Jamari Peacock. I happen to personally love those big bruising running backs, kind of like a Ron Dane mold. And that's kind of how I see him, really good feet, 6 foot, 245 pounds. And as you mentioned, all three of these guys are going to be, you look towards next year, Daniel Hamm returns, Jordan Ellis, but those are the only two returning scholarship running backs. So at the very least, they're going to need some depth. And then I see certainly Peacock at that big back position, what Albert Reed played, and then Atkins. And, you know, we'll see with Kyer how he does when he gets there this summer. You know, the reason we talk about Atkins and Peacock is because they're already there. So they're going to go through the spring practice, have that experience, and then the summer to help them for next season. But definitely three really quality running backs that was a big position of need, even though we talked a lot about the offensive line. Running back was definitely a big position of immediate need.
All right. We got to talk about the quarterback, Lindell Stone. I believe he's from Texas.
Yes.
He's been at Woodbury, and his wide receiver sidekick, the Mad Bomber, Terrell Janna, going deep. And you got a former tight end who they've recruited to play defensive end, John Kervin, whose older brother was a walk-on basketball player, Cade Kervin, for Tony Bennett. John Kervin, 6'5", 260 pounds. Might they bring him back and let him play tight end? Because, you know, a good tight end is a good tight end. But
right.
Talk about these offensive players from Woodbury and also blend in Sean Smith, 5'11", 175 receiver, and Darnell Pratt, 6'3", 170 wide receiver.
Right, and we'll start with the receivers that you mentioned, Sean Smith and Darnell Pratt Jr. And one thing Coach Mendenhall did mention on signing day was that he was hoping to land maybe one more kind of dynamic receiver target. Sean Smith was a player they landed within the final 2 weeks of signing day, and he's a slot receiver type, accomplished punt returner, kick returner, about 5'11", 165 pounds. So he's going to be kind of that jitterbug, kind of quick, fast guy on the field. Darnell Pratt Jr. is out of Good Counsel High School, which is a well-renowned football program in Maryland. And he's got more height. He's about 6'3", 170 pounds. He's also a track guy. I know Virginia's track coach tweeted, welcome to UVA. So hint, hint, maybe they can use him for track. He's very very accomplished, I believe, a state champion in the 200 meters.
So UVA's track coach is Brian Fetzer, and he's lifted the UVA track and field program into the top 10 in just a few years, which is absolutely astounding to me. But keep going. Keep rolling.
Well, no, as you mentioned, and if he's speaking pretty highly, that kind of tells you about his ability on the track and that super productive this past season from a statistical standpoint, but Pratt's definitely got the height and the speed that you're looking for at the receiver position. And again, they were kind of mentioning, Mendenhall was kind of mentioning that one more receiver would have been ideal. And then Woodbury Forest is a school that, you know, Virginia's, they've produced a lot of quality players and just seemed like UVA couldn't quite get into the mix. But Lindell Stone is a great place to start with. He's a quarterback, great poise, very accurate. Not the biggest guy. I think he's probably about 6'1", you know, 200 pounds. But he's more of a pocket guy. But I really love his poise, and he's kind of a mature beyond his years type of guy. And, you know, I think with UVA getting a graduate transfer from Missouri, Marvin Zanders, that's going to help him and the younger Lindell and the younger guys kind of mature. But he's a guy I wouldn't be surprised to see him push, because I think he's a guy with the maturity to come in and the talent to come in and do well. And then you mentioned Terrell Janna is a player who can play receiver or cornerback. He's listed as both on the signing day press release, but had a great connection with Lindell Stone as a receiver. So I wouldn't be surprised to see him get looks on both sides of the ball. And then John Kervin, you mentioned a kid who committed to Coach London, Mike London, when he was at Virginia. He reopened the process when Coach Mendenhall mentioned that they wanted to see him in camp. He went to UVA's camp, worked extremely hard, and then earned a scholarship as a defensive end for Coach Mendenhall. So, he's coming in. Obviously, that tells you that he wants to be a Wahoo, and he's going to probably play defensive end. And you mentioned tight end. That doesn't seem to be a priority position.
No, it isn't. It's not
for Coach Mendenhall.
Yeah. Not for Mendenhall. I like tight ends, you know, personally. All right.
UVA's had a good track record.
You know, we had a guy named Heath Miller a few years ago, pretty good.
Yes.
Talk quickly. We've only got about a minute or so to talk about the defense. Who are the best players based upon what your research has shown you and the players you've seen? And are these players that can help this defense right away, or is it more like 2 years down the road?
Yeah, I think a decent amount of developmental guys, but Jermaine Crowell is a guy who I think can add immediate depth as a defensive back. And he's the son of Jermaine Crowell, the receiver, who starred for Coach George Welsh. But Jermaine is a guy, he's 6'2", 190 pounds. He's already enrolled early, so he's on grounds right now. He'll go through the spring and summer. He's a guy I think could contribute immediately. Again, I think initially they like him as a cornerback, but with his size, I think safety wouldn't be out of the question.
While you're saying that, sure. Darius Bratton and Joey Blunt, and Blunt's a legacy player as well. His dad made one of the best hits ever in Scott Stadium and knocked the tailback out of the game. His name was Williams for University of Richmond.
Oh, wow.
And Tony Blunt went like Superman over the line of scrimmage and drilled him. And, you know, that was the end of that game. It was like a 30-0 game, and I'll never forget the hit. And I got to know Tony Blunt when I was in school. And if this young man has got some of that DNA, he's going to be pretty darn good.
Yeah, Joey's speed-wise, I think he's that was one of the reasons maybe why he wasn't as highly recruited. But he's known for kind of his savvy, his IQ, and he's a pretty decent overall athlete, I think. So definitely a guy to look out for, just from the standpoint of him being a rangy guy, but also having that field IQ and being able to be the center fielder. So definitely, and you mentioned that background, that's got to rub off on him somehow.
All right. Unfortunately, we could talk about every single one of these players for 20 minutes, but unfortunately we're out of time tonight for you. But maybe we can bring you back in a few weeks and sort of wrap up, because by then we will know more about Montellus and Pertile and some of these other potential grad transfers. And
maybe when we're getting into spring ball and we see what's going to be out.
Yeah, that's a given. Yep. But I just mean we will know whether some of these guys have been admitted. Right now their paperwork is in the admissions office. So
right.
Until the admissions people say yay, there ain't nothing happening. So
right.
Chris Horn, you did another great job tonight. I hope you have a great week and finally catch up on your rest. And I hope to see you up at a Virginia game very soon.
Yeah, will do. Thank you, Frank.
Take care. All right, we're going to head to break. Come back on the other side. A very hefty Olympic sports report, as well as some more details about the ACC basketball and the games that are coming up in the next couple of days. Stay with us. This is Who's Talking.